All right, for the grown-ups, if you guys have your Bible, a less fun time of ministry. I think less drawing unless you brought your own crayons. Less snacks unless you think communion's a snack, but it's not. So, but today we're going to get into Psalm 113. And Psalm 113 starts the songs of Halal, and we'll get into that. There's actually a couple great YouTube videos. Maybe I'll email them to Luke, and he can put them on the Facebook page if you guys want to check those out, because we use our Facebook page so frequently. But what I'd like to do is, Halal just simply means praise, so these are psalms of praise, and I told Angie, I was like, we're getting ready to do the psalms of Halal, the psalms of praise, and she goes, those will be good for you. So, and I think that they are, 1 week, and I'm already glad that we're in them. So let me pray this over us today, and then we'll get into it. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He makes them to sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of her children. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And today, as we get into the first of the Halal prayers, or Hallelujah prayers, that would probably make a little bit more sense to us. Hallelujah is just simply praise the Lord, right? So we can say, praise the Lord. What do you guys say? Say, praise the Lord, right? That's what we do. And this is a way that we get to practice our praises especially as we get into the Easter season with Palm Sunday next week. I think we're going to do a Good Friday service. We'll take an informal poll later to see if that'll work. But I would like to. I think it would be good. But we get to have this word, this hallelujah, this word, praise the Lord, on our lips. And this is something that, as Christians, we get to do as we lift up Jesus, right? The title of the Halal Psalms would make a bit more sense in English if we just translated it this way. Hallelujah, praise. If we translate it, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, right? But if we translated that, praise the Lord, to hallelujah, and then we'd go, oh, Psalms of Halal, I get it, hallelujah, right? Because that's praise of God, praise the Lord. And then verse 9 would end, hallelujah. So it would start and end with the word hallelujah. And so this idea of Halal is like a sudden burst of praise. A sudden prayer. Like, it's not like it doesn't come out of nowhere, but it's like, you just feel dark and you feel crushed, and then all of a sudden something happens and you're just like, thank you, God. Like, thank you, I'm rescued from this thing. And and as it would have started, it would have been the instant after the ancient Israelites left Egypt, right? If you guys remember, 10 plagues, they left Egypt. They were being oppressed for over 400 years and in slavery in Egypt. And Moses and Aaron were asking, let my people go, let my people go. And then they were going, and they were camped right next to the Red Sea. And then when all of a sudden the Egyptian army came and said, oh, not today. We're going to get you guys. We're going to drive you back so we can have you continue to be our slaves. And then God commanded Moses to stand, and God parted the Red Sea. And then the Israelites walked across the Red Sea, and then the seas closed in on the Egyptian armies, saving the people of Israel. It was quite an incredible miracle. And this is when the Halal started, because right after that event, all the people burst into cheer. They're like, we're saved. Hallelujah. God saved us. Praise the Lord. Look at what he did. We almost died, but now we're saved. And we get to sing a song to the one who saved us. And it wasn't a song to Moses. It was a song to the Lord, because they knew Moses and his magic staff couldn't do all the parting of the Red Sea. They knew that this was an act of God. And in that, right, they're about to be killed. Then God works on their behalf. And they cross the Red Sea on dry land. And then God swallows up the enemies. And so hallelujah is meant to sing praise, to boast about, to boast and brag about what the Lord has done for us. And this is a word of worship that we get to sing to Jesus, because if we sing hallelujah to Jesus, we're boasting about who Jesus is in our life. Amen. We're boasting about what he's done and who he is. Here's this. This is always this question that I have is why? Well, that's a big question. Once we answer that. So Jesus, okay, we have the cross and we have all the church answers. But these Psalms of Halals are, if we ask the question why, these Psalms of Halal give us the reasons why we worship God. Why we worship God. The motivation behind all the different reasons why we worship God. I bet you if we went around and asked, why do you worship God? Everybody's answer is going to be a little bit different if we asked separately, right? So they're going to be just a little bit different. And yet at the same time, there's going to be some common themes that come out of that. And these prayers of Halal, it's Psalm 113, 114, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Okay, and then it gets into Psalm 119, which will be 4 years worth of psalms there. So it's those psalms are the why. They give the different reasons for worshiping God. And today, the why behind Psalm 113 is because he stands outside of nature and history. He is the Lord, yes, but what makes him Lord? And he stands outside of nature and history. And even though that's the big idea, we also get to see that we worship Jesus because we are his servants. Amen? We get to do this. This is something we get to do as his servants. Even though Jesus calls us friends, we still serve him, right? We still serve the Lord and his purposes, and we get to boast about how great he is in that. And it says in verse 1, it says, praise, O servants of the Lord. That's us. That's us. We're serving the Lord. We're striving to serve him with our lives and with our mouth. And in turn, we just get to live this out and lift up our voices to him. We do this by ourselves and with one another. But I think about it this way. Like, if the servants didn't praise him, who would? Like, we know God's great, right? We know God's great. And we're told that even the rocks cry out, but let's beat the inanimate objects to like praising the Lord. Let's get there before him, not only with our mouths, but with our hearts as well. Because we can boast, we can see, and we can know, and we can boast about that all that God's done for us. I think about it this way. There are certain friends that I have that I boast about in different situations, right? Maybe it's because of who they are. Maybe it's because of what they've done. I was thinking about Jason Chinosky. I remember one time he climbed Mount Baker and he was dangling off the cliff and he almost died there. Like, it's really, it's a true story. He was like hanging on one hand onto his, like with a 1,000-foot drop onto his like ice axe or something like that. And I boasted him. I'm like, yeah, and he survived because he's my friend. And I thought it's a cool story and all that good stuff. And then I think about like, maybe I boast in people because of what we've been through together. Like, maybe it's a common shared experience. I don't think it's that weird to boast about our friends, right? Like, I don't think it's that weird, like, that we just talk highly of them. We give them praise. We see the good things that they've done and we like them. And it's not, when we say praise the Lord, I don't think of it as some weird, like, spasmatic bursts all of a sudden. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, praise the Lord. Like they do, and that's how they do it in Texas. Just praise the Lord, everybody. Just it's like a burst in there. They don't really mean it, actually. So, but it's just kind of in how we talk, how we act with Jesus, how we boast about how and what he's done in our lives. Because we've been through a lot together with Jesus, right? Like he's led us through a lot. We've walked with him. And now, just as we would a friend, we get to boast about Jesus and what he's done for us. And now, how many of you guys in your Bibles, not that you read, you bring your Bibles or have it on your app, but how many of you have like the word Lord capitalized? Okay, right there, right? Okay, Lord capitalized. Okay, this is what I wrote. This is a dad joke, so you'll appreciate this, Aaron. You'll love it. So when that is the case, or the uppercase, we can know that the name, that when it's all in uppercase, we can know that's the name Yahweh is being used. The word Yahweh is being translated into the word Lord. And it's not, we've talked about in the Psalms before how we've had generic terms of God, like we just praise God, like God being creator. But when we praise Yahweh, it's a specific name for God. It's the one that is unrivaled, and his power is not in question. He is the creator of all things in heaven and in earth. And in the scriptures, it's to this name that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Yahweh is the one who is certainly worthy of all our praise, and we get to recognize it and celebrate his name above every other name. It's not generic. Our God is Yahweh. And this is why Jesus, by the way, was almost stoned when he claimed to be God. He's using this name, and it would have been absolute blasphemy if he wasn't God, but thank God that he is, so it wasn't blasphemy. But the greatness of God gives us who worship him comfort, amen? Like, as we think about God, I love what this one commentator said, Arthur Weiser, he's wrote a beautiful commentary on the Psalms. He says, faith takes comfort, our faith in Jesus, our faith in God takes comfort from the greatness of God, which we praise. Amen? And so we can see in this psalm, as he stands outside of nature and history, how great God is, that it is a named God, that Yahweh is his name, and that we can worship him because he stands outside of time and history. We can look at this. And if we've never lifted up his name, then let's do it today. Because this is how great our God is. And it's funny because I firmly believe all this stuff, like with my heart, my life, everything about it. So from the rising to the setting of the sun, he is to be praised all day, every day. Amen. And this doesn't mean that we stand around singing songs to him all day, or that we're just in prayer at every single moment. I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't have normal lives, that we get to live in that as well, because we get to live those, right? We get to walk with Jesus in all that. But it does mean that we get to set aside time to praise him, that we can use this as a goal to see, okay, God, how can we praise you today? How can we be set apart, since you say that we're set apart to be your servant? And I often heard this growing up. Well, this means that you just go around telling everybody about Jesus every moment of every day. Have you guys ever heard that? Am I the only one? Like, I don't know if that's what this means, or like, in fact, I don't think it does. It means that... this is what I think it means, that you could do I was thinking about you, Luke, you could do a spreadsheet to the glory of God. You can do math to God's glory. You can sit down and figure out, do you do math?
You can't do math not to God's glory.
Look at that, see? From the rising to the setting of the sun, there you go. Absolutely. And so, well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. There's those of us that aren't, but it means that you could show kindness to your coworkers. Which coworkers? All of them. Maybe especially those who are kind of like outcast, those that people don't like. And how often can you do this? Day in, day out. Why? You're showing them the dignity and worth that God's given you. You're trying to show them that they can live to this as well. It could mean that you set aside your agenda for the agenda of your kids. That's kind of hard, parents, right? Especially when they're young and they just want to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. Praising God with our actions as well as with our mouths is who we get to be as a community of his servants, community of his friends. We get to do this over and over. And because God is so great and he stands outside of all histories, right? All of them without exception. And it would mean that he is over every single ruling power that exists today, that has existed, and that will exist. Charles Spurgeon put it this way: the Lord is high above all learning, judgment, and imaginations of heathen sages. I love that they still used heathen back then. So heathen sages. and far beyond the pomp and might of the monarchs of the nations, for his providence is universal. That's how big our God is. He knows everything. Not only that, verse 6 shows us that he is seated on high, and it goes on, and verse 6 goes, who looks down on the heavens and the earth. And this shows us that God never lets us out of our sight. I think about this not being like he's just sitting up there watching us, but more like when you have a kid at the playground, you're trying to watch them so they don't break their arm, like, and you're trying to steer them and guide them. You're sitting there, you're watching them, you're letting them do their thing, but at the same time, you're there and you care. You're never going to let them out of their sight because of this love. And as a loving God, he keeps tabs on what's going on, and he's waiting for his perfect timing in all things. And his timing is never wrong. And God has seen and knows about all that's happened in history. Even the stuff that isn't recorded in the history books or preserved by archaeology or any of that stuff that we'll never know, God knows it all. His power and his knowledge and his love and his grace are not limited. All of it is eternal and forever, and it's far more real than our greatest reality. This is, why do we praise God? Because we believe this, or at least we try to. We strive to do this at times. He is seated on high, and I love that he even has to humble himself to see the splendor of space. He has to humble himself to see the vastness of the entire universe. And yet, he humbles himself. He sets it all aside, and he humbles himself gladly because of his love for us, his love for his people. He is bigger than space, and yet he concerns himself with you. It's incredible, isn't it? This is humbling for us, and that's why he's praiseworthy. We get to praise God for the cross of Christ, that Jesus cared so much for us that he humbled himself even to the point of death. And I think that this is so unbelievably amazing that God is so high above us that he would do this for us. He died for us, he was buried, and he rose again, and he's now seated at the right hand of God the Father, who is seated above every nation, above every ruler, above all time. And this is our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he is a great, great God. And I love that we celebrate the cross every week. I do. I love that we celebrate it in communion. I love that we think about this moment, the extent that Jesus went to for us. But what about the other, like, 1 million ways that God blesses us, right? It's not just the cross. There's all of it. The grandeur of it is seen in the cross, but it also trickles down into the blessing of every single breath that we take, amen? It trickles down that far, and a great example of God's care for us is oftentimes you can say God loves everybody, but a good storyteller will often show you that God or somebody loves somebody by singling it down to one person. And God does this in this psalm as well. If you were to go and start reading the book of 1 Samuel, you would see and you would read about Hannah, right? Hannah, she is the unlikely mother of Samuel. Unlikely, she was a woman who was barren. Her husband had two wives, not condoning it, just saying the truth of it, had two wives. The one woman had kids, and Hannah, for some reason, wasn't able to get pregnant. And she was seen, and as she was barren and she's unable to have children, this would have been a sign of your worth to the family. Are you able to contribute children? That's one of your main roles as a wife back then. Like, are you able to contribute children to the family? And her answer would have to be no. She's barren. She just couldn't do it. And so she felt almost worthless to the family. Even her husband loved her more, but and he asked her, isn't it just enough that I love you? She's like, no. I want to provide as well. So one year, the story starts, she's at a temple and she was praying. She was sobbing, looking ridiculous, definitely ugly, tears crawling all over the place. She was even rebuked by the priest for appearing to be drunk in the temple. Hey, get out of here, you drunken lady. Like, get out of here. But she was asking God for a son. She was begging. She was pleading with pain in her heart for God to give her a son. And if he did, she would give God the son for his service in the temple. Well, as the story goes on, God heard her prayer and gave her a son, right? Gave her 1 Samuel, and he gave her 2 Samuel. I'm just kidding. It's just the same person. He gave her Samuel. And I find it interesting that as God gave her this son, that out of her pain and her agony and her worthlessness, her feeling of worthlessness, that God brings life and brings light and sets in. And in the story of Scripture, Samuel's a pretty major player. He says a lot, does a lot of really great things. And it came from this woman's brokenness and her willingness to just go to God's presence and cry out to him. Just like the pain of the Israelites who were running from their oppressors, right? Those who were in slaves. Hannah was trying to outrun her oppressors by having a child, and she did. In both stories, God showed up and performed miracles. And in both cases, a halal, a sudden burst of praise was offered. A sudden song of praise was offered to God. And Hannah's is recorded for us in 1 Samuel 2. You can go back and read the whole thing. But it's recorded for us in part here in Psalm 113. And I find it interesting the way it was quoted, because out of her great anguish comes this great celebration, this rejoicing. And here's the part, this is the quote from her. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. And that's where the quote from Hannah's prayer ends. But the prayer in the psalm continues with her story. He gives the barren woman a home, making her joyous mother of children. It's beautiful. It's beautiful that God cares about this. And it's beautiful what this says. He raises the poor from dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Instead of poverty, God makes us his princes and princesses. This is amazing. This is, whereas the world would say you're not worthy to be a janitor in the high places of government, right? I don't know if they'd ever let me into the White House, let alone to clean it on a daily basis. Like, in God's kingdom, the one where he rules, his servants, his children, those through Christ become his sons and daughters, we get rewarded with positions of greatness. It's incredible. None of this lowliness stuff. We get to serve in humility because that's how God shows us. But God gives honors to those who trust him while on their ash heaps of a life. And that's what we get to do. This great position can only be given by God, and he bestows it on us. Where are we in this world if we're not his servants or his friends or his sons and daughters? But we are. Out of the great anguish of the cross comes our great hallelujah. Amen. Gives our great reason to praise God over and over, that God, this God who is outside of all history and all time and blesses us, and this great position is given to us by him. He gives us his blessing, and we get to be faithful to sing his praises, to give him the glory for which it comes. I don't know if you guys like commentaries, but I certainly do. But Walter Brueggemann, in his book called The Message of the Psalms, it's outstanding. It says this, that he's referring to this psalm. That song in all its concreteness sounds like a celebration of a helpless, powerless peasant community that regards Yahweh as its only friend and ally against powerful and exploitive enemies. It's incredible. We do have powerful and exploitive enemies of God, right? And God will triumph over all of them, and we get to sing out our praises because of this. But notice where we get to be in this prayer. We get to be the helpless people, the powerless community that watches for what God is doing and worships God through our history and through our time as he's the one doing the work. And this psalm simply ends, praise the Lord, or hallelujah. I love, I was going to try and rewrite this fancy, but I love the way that one commentator says an ending to this prayer. He says, this doxology, this ending, never explains. It only attests to what Israel knows. Praise the Lord. That's what I know. What do I know? I know praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We get to praise the Lord. That's what we know as Christians. We know that we get to praise Him. We don't have all the answers that we want, but we do know that we get to praise Him. And we get to walk as His people, His servants, His friends, and praise the Lord. Lift up our voices to Him for what He's done for us and be thankful for that. So Jesus, we thank You that we get to praise Your name. We thank You that we get to sing Your praises, that You are such a great God to us. And Lord, will You please continue to speak to us, continue to reveal Your greatness to us, continue to show how awesome You are. In Jesus' name, amen.